I'm really excited. Aren't you? No, if you were really excited, you'd say so, wouldn't you? I'm really excited because the times we're living in are powerful. Amen. The Holy Spirit is moving in the days that we live in ways He has never moved before. Men and women and children are experiencing a hunger and a thirst for God, like, and for God's presence like they never have before. Do you know that 2,100 people got baptized a couple weeks ago in the beach in, California? Over 10,000 this year. 10,000. Wow. George Barna, who does church statistics all the time, he said this weekend he released a report that said the first time in decades we're seeing that younger adults are the most regular churchgoers. According to Barna, the first time in decades they're now regular churchgoers outpacing older generations. Amen. Amen. All around the world we're seeing revival and reformation. What's happening? A miracle awakening is happening. And we're part of it. We're in the middle of a billion soul harvest. Amen? Amen. The Bible portrays a God who is capable of so much more than just Sunday sermons or Wednesday night Bible studies. He's capable of doing the impossible. Amen. The average people in the Bible were able to witness the miraculous facilities of God. Walking on water, dead being raised, people being healed, food being multiplied, you name it. And the truth is that every believer today is called to live a life of the supernatural in Christ. Every one of us. Say me. She's got it. We have the, as ordinary men and women, we have the ability to see God do miraculous things and even transform this generation for the glory of God. Amen. God is moving to pour out the fullness of His Spirit, the fullness of His glory in this hour. And He wants the world to see how real He is. He really does. But we have to live the life as He intended us to live. We're not just talking about a religious experience that we have on Sunday once in a while, but an everyday, ongoing, 24 hours, 7 days a week experience with Him, where He's alive in us. What if we could do the same works that Jesus did right now? Ask yourself that. What if we could live in the miraculous today? Oh. I believe that we can experience the miraculous power of God in our everyday lives. So many times we listen to Christians talk and they talk about all their pains and all their problems. And in our discussions, we kind of dilute the promises of God. We kind of set them aside. We use our words to diminish our covenant rights with God. But that's not the way that God wants it. He's given us an answer. He's given us solutions. He's given us... It seems like the enemy is attacking all over the place. But God is not powerless. He is the victor. And He is not going to leave us under the attack of the enemy without recourse. In fact, it's just the opposite. God has given us weapons to fight with. There's a war on, I know. And the Lord of Heaven's armies is calling us to stand up. Kick the devil in the teeth. And take hold of the promises that God has given us. And stand firm against the powers of evil that are trying to attack the church. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and verse 13, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And then verse 13 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand." That means at the end of the battle, you're the one still standing. Amen? We're not supposed to hide in fear before the enemy. We're supposed to attack the enemy and take the kingdom that he's taken from us. To take back what God has given us. to storm his gates, to show him that we know that his strongholds cannot stand against the church. Amen? I prophesy over you and come into agreement with you that you will rise up in your covenant with God to take hold of the victory that God has won for you and to say no to the devil and yes and amen to all of God's promises in Christ. Amen? It's time to take the territory that the devil stole back. Time to... The war isn't over, but despite everything you might believe, we are the victors.
Yes,
we are the victors. Overwhelming victory is ours. And so this morning, I want to take a minute just to explore the name of Jesus, one of the weapons that God has given us. So powerful, so mighty. And that weapon really has to do with the authority of us against the enemy. The name of the Lord Jesus is the mighty thing by which the authority of Satan is defeated in every realm. It's the name that power is found. His name. I want to read a passage of scripture in Philippians. And this is in the New King James, verse 8, chapter 2. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Wow. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and of those under the earth. In every realm, his name is superior. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want to read those two verses, 9 and 10, in the Passion Translation. I like what it says. It says, because of that obedience, the obedience to the cross, God highly exalted him and multiplied his greatness. He now has been given the greatest name of all names. The authority of the name of Jesus causes every knee to bow in reverence. Everything and everyone every day will one day submit to this name in the heavenly realm, in the earthly realm, and in the demonic realm. Every name. Hallelujah. And then in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. Hallelujah. All that is invested in the name of Jesus belongs to us. He has given it to us. Say me. Some of you anyway. Hey, Jesus is here. But remember, Jesus is not your Wi-Fi password. It's not your ticket to heaven. It's not what connects you with God. The name of Jesus, when I speak that name, it means that I come in his place. I represent him. I'm doing what he could or would do if he was here. I'm coming in his name with his authority, and all of heaven is backing me. It's like when the policeman stands up and he says, stop in the name of the law. Why is that powerful? Because all the law stands behind him to enforce what he says. He has the authority of all the law. When I say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, all the authority of heaven stands behind me. He gave me his name. He gave you his name. And all the power of heaven stands behind you when you come in Jesus' name. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, Peter said to the lame man that was by the gate, lots before this, you remember, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. But then the key phrase in that verse is, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And what happened? The guy got up, jumped, leaped, praised the Lord, and he was walking. And I'm in Jesus' place enforcing God's will on the earth. As in heaven, so be it on the earth. You can pray that in the Lord's Prayer, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we're standing in his place. Say his name. Say it with authority. Say it with the power that he enforced it with. He gave us the legal right to use his name. That's an awesome thought. If I told you you could use my name and go to the bank, you'd be pretty happy, wouldn't you? Yeah. And there's not much money in there, but you could have it. Right? You'd be pretty happy if I gave you my name. But Jesus gave us his name, and his name has a whole lot more behind it than the mine. His name is worth everything. And we read the scripture says is a name that is above every name that is named. Every name that is named. You can call out 100 names and every one of them is below Jesus. Call out 1,000 names and every one of them is below Jesus. He gave us a signed check on the resources of heaven and is asking us to fill it in. I'm going to read a passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through his deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of the glorious inheritance he finds in us, his holy ones. Then verse 19 says, I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of the immense power that works in you. This mighty power. Then in verse 20, Paul gives us the definition of that. He said, I want to show you what kind of power that was. That immeasurable power. Do you want to know what it was? It says, that was the power that was released when God raised him from the dead. The power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that he pours into us. Amen. Just amazing that he would give us his name. And the purpose was because he wanted to invest in the church. He put on deposit for the church his name. And you could have the right to draw from it for every need you have. He has given him a name. Look at Colossians chapter 9, starting in verse 9. For he, Jesus, is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. Jesus is the complete deity. And our own completeness is now found in him. We are completely filled with God. Did you know you were completely filled with God? You are. You are completely filled with God. Let that sink in for a second. All that he is in you. As Christ's fullness overflows within us. You aren't just filled now. You are overflowing. Overflowing with his presence. He is the head of every kingdom and every authority in the universe. And through the union that we have experienced, through the union with him, we've experienced circumcision of heart. All of the guilt and power of sin has been cut away and now is extinct because of what Christ, the Anointed One, has accomplished for us. Jesus is the victor. We skip down to verse 15. It says, Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of his cross, he led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. Hallelujah. We have the right to use his name against the enemy. We have the right to use his name in our prayers and petitions. We have the right to use his name in our praise and worship. That name has been given to us for whatever we need. Let me share with you out of Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, a deeper view of the conquest that Jesus accomplished in his death. It's important to understand these things because if we want to really be able to trust the power of his name. In verse 15 it says, "And Jesus made a public display of all the powers and principalities of darkness. He stripped away from them every weapon and all of their spiritual authority." That's what he did. "And their power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, he led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph." He was not their prisoner. They were his. The pictures of Christ in the dark regions of hell, in awful combat against the hosts of darkness. It gives us a glimpse of the tremendous battle and the victory that Jesus won before he rose from the dead. I'm sure that the demon hosts were feeling victorious, that Christ was now in their power. He was in their place, and they wanted to just cover him, swamp him with their presence. And then a cry came forth from the throne of God. "It's finished. Jesus did it. He won the victory. He accomplished everything. He met the demands of justice. The sin problem was dealt with, and man's redemption was a fact. Jesus is the ultimate victor." In Hebrews chapter 2:14, get some more of the testimony of that. "Inasmuch then as children, having partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death," that is the devil. Jesus won the victory. He accomplished the victory. Oh, he conquered Satan, and he stood there as the absolute victor and master. And now his name is above every name. And he has given that name to us. And he's given the authority that he won is delegated to us in the use of his name. And when we come in his name, it's like Jesus is coming. He is there. The omnipotence of God was invested in his name, and he gave that name to us. And there's probably two of the most powerful verses that Jesus spoke. John 14:13 says, "And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Pretty simple verse. And then verse 23 and 24 of chapter 16, "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." They're probably the most staggering promises that God has ever spoken. Wow. And we are to have the use of his name. That name of omnipotence. That name of power. He doesn't say, it's interesting, those two verses. He doesn't say if you believe or if you have faith. He said, no, they're yours to use. They're yours. We were born into the family of God, and the right to use his name and the privilege to use it comes through that new birth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no reason for our weakness. There is no reason for our sickness. There is no reason for a fruitless church. There's no reason for powerless lives, because Jesus has given us his name. And we are partnered with him now. And you don't need to write limited on that partnership, because he is not limited in any way. Amen. He is able to meet the demand. He is able to do for us what we need to be done. And I have an urgency to awaken the body of Christ in this house to who they are and what they can do in the hands of an unlimited God. Would you stand with me? All believers, all of us, every single one of us can live in God's fullness and presence, and we can do extreme miracles everywhere. It says in the Bible, they preach the word and signs and wonders follow. So signs and wonders, come on, follow us. We preach the word, let your signs come. Let your miracles come. Oh, the wonder and the grace of God. Oh, the name of Jesus, it stands in all the authority of that name. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. The message is simple. He has given us his name. God is in you, so act like it. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you right now. We believe what you said in your word, the power of your word. You showed us that you honored Jesus and gave him a name above every name, and that he gave that name to us to use. He said, if you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for the strength, the healing, the provision, the resources, the victory that you've won for us. We thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ordinances this morning. We had communion and we had baptism. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be baptized, we have the tank ready. And so they're going to sing a closing song, and as they close, I encourage you to do one of two things. If you want to come and be baptized, you can be. If you need prayer, there'll be a prayer team up here that would love to pray over you and see victory through the name of Jesus this morning.